So this is our Happy House Hunters Mastermind. And today it's all about taxes because we're at the beginning of the year and this is the time to kind of, Sherry's like, choke me now. We're at the beginning of the year and this is the correct time to kind of get our record keeping in order. And I don't care how motivated we are or how systematized we are, there's always something that we can fine tune and tighten up and or a deduction that maybe we didn't know we could get or we could take. And so there's always something to learn when we talk about taxes, not to mention everything changes all the time. Oh, we've got Adrian. This is perfect. All right, Adrian, come on over. Yeah, welcome, Adrian. He's getting connected to the audio, so he probably didn't hear me say welcome yet. It says he's getting connected. So welcome. We've got Sherry and Tammy and David and Adrian. So thank you for being on today. So we're going to start off. Sherry is kind of new to tapping into the Happy House Hunters Mastermind. And she is, I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about what she's doing and why she is interested in the real estate investing. So Sherry, I'm going to let you tell us about that.
Hey everyone, it's great to be here. Thank you, Kathy, for this opportunity. I am a coach that helps teachers, and my dream is to have a specialty school that specializes in helping kids with a disability in writing, which is dysgraphia, and dyscalculia, which is a disability in math. And these two areas are my passion, I guess, is the way you want to say it.
My expertise,
because I have struggled with communication my entire life. Matter of fact, I've lost several jobs because of lack of communication skills. And my kids have come to me over the years when they were younger and like, I have very bright kids, and I was trying to make that connection with why kids who are in the gifted spectrum can have trouble with spelling and creating creative writing and handwriting in general versus the kids that I was getting as an occupational therapist who were able to or were struggling with reading, writing, math, and anything to do with school. But one of my dreams is to really focus on research long-term. So the idea of the real estate is to have the property owned by a holding company that I own and rent out the different buildings and the different areas of practice, and with the whole thing focusing on education of dysgraphia. So I have been looking at what does that mean? What do I need to save? And quite frankly, I am at zero. So I feel a little bit of urgency in this because I would like to do this within the next 3 years, starting at zero and struggling to get my consulting business to be having passive income, as Kathy likes to talk about.
I get it. Lots of ways that you could go there. And because I know your situation of maybe a little bit more intimately than some of the others on the call is how do you get the funds to actually launch something like that? And so because you already have a home, and so house hacking something like getting a building that you could also live in and have the is probably not going to work for you because of you know, you've got family members that probably wouldn't want to live in a commercial building somewhere.
Not only that, I also have a husband who runs his business out of this house. I have a son who runs his business out of this house. So like moving into a commercial property is going to create an uproar. However, my husband needs the commercial property at the moment more than I do.
So. Because my next thought was, is if you could launch something where you could do a collaborative effort, where you could have not necessarily a partner, but someone else that needed what you had to offer that could pick up half the tab. And I'll go back and explain it like this. When I wanted to start my first salon, You know, the girls in the salon, several of them came to me and they all said, Kathy, why don't you open a salon and we'll just come and work for you? Well, I didn't want to carry that load, that financial load by myself. And so what I did is I looked around the salon and I said, who here makes as much money as I do? And it happened to be this little gal that was half my age, but she was quite the nail tech. And so she had cash flow. See, she had money. She had spendable income. And so I approached her and said, could we be partners? And she was like, you know, she was all about wanting to have her name above the door. So she was like, oh, I can be an owner. Yeah, yeah, I'll be a partner. Well, what happened is she got what she wanted. She got to own a salon and I got what I wanted. I got someone to pick up half the expenses. And so what I'm saying, Sherry, is maybe in your travels is to kind of look around and see if there's someone that you could collaborate with that wants what you want, that could pay half the tab until you get enough renters in there in some of those other buildings, locations, storefronts, how whatever property you discover. And once you get enough other folks in there, then neither one of you have to put money into the pot because it becomes passive income for you. But it would be somebody that would be willing to be an investor on the front end along with you because they need some of the same things that that particular property would provide. So anyway, right. Just a thought. So welcome.
So one of the things that I did over the last 3 weeks is I went to GrowthCon. So does anybody here, has anybody here heard of Grant Cardone?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to some of his stuff and I'm trying to learn a little bit about some of the ways that he's doing real estate and looking at, you know, looking at my options. Could he be a partner? I don't know. So I'm looking at what is the best avenue. I am starting out right now at the thought is up here. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And where is it going to end up? Looking at 3 years out as my target to think about purchase.
I think it's a good plan. And we all started with just thinking about it. You know, I remember when I first approached, again, my partner, you know, she and I rented a space and we had our first salon. And then I approached her and I said, you know, within the first 3 years of us owning a salon, because it takes 3 to 5 years to get a business starting to cash flow. And I said, you know, once we own the salon, I said, within the first 3 years, I said, I want to buy our own building. Because if I'm going to own a salon business for 30 years, I didn't want to end up at the end of 30 years with a shoebox full of rent receipts. I wanted to actually own a piece of property at the other end. And that's kind of where I lost her because she was so young that she just couldn't imagine that, you know, as long as it's just a property we were renting, she knew that at any time we both decided to not do this anymore, all we had to do was just not renew the lease and we were out. And so buying a property was just a little overwhelming for her. And so I went ahead and bought the property and she remained a partner for a while, but she couldn't quite wrap her mind around all the obligations that came with property ownership. And so she eventually just wanted to be a booth renter, which I was like, what? Long story short. And I gave her lots of options to stay, but she chose not to. And guess what? She's now a realtor. And she now looks at me and says, Kathy, what was I thinking? And I'm like, I know, but you were young. I get it. And so now she, you know, she wished she would have stayed, but it's what it is. So, again, I would look at somebody that you could collaborate with possibly.
Oh, who's passing the scene?
I see that.
That is our daughter's cat. So we're actually, we live in Canal Winchester up in Ohio, but our daughters live in Texas. So we're down here visiting them right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So
mine is on my lap. He had to come and visit. So there's Mercury.
Well, that was Ember you just saw.
Ember and Mercury. There we go.
Well, Sherry is
quiet, but
Sherry is in Pennsylvania. She's just right outside of Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah. And David and Tammy, where are you in Texas right now? Your daughters, what part of Texas?
We're in Austin.
Okay, in the Austin area. And I am in between Sarasota and Bradenton at my Florida condo. So You guys can always tell because I've got this virtual screen behind me when I travel. Mm-hmm. That way I don't have to worry about what's going on behind me. And so anyway, just for folks on the call, you all know me. I have 24 doors, a mix of commercial, residential, long-term, short-term, mid-term. So I'm pretty well diversified. And then not all in the same town. I've spread out into different communities. And of course, right now, all the property taxes are coming due. So ouch, they all went up across the board. So there's that going on right now in my world. But it'll the dust will settle, you know, we'll get a couple of months in and it'll all kind of even out and it'll be good. But right now, property taxes are up. So I had to infuse some cash into the accounts this month because I'm on an auto draw from all those treasurer's departments. So David and Tammy, tell us a little bit about you. Tammy, I made you my co-host just in case I get bumped off. You can let me back in.
All right.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, we just got started 2 years ago, I think it was, and we wanted to get into real estate and weren't sure how. So the way we did it is we sold our primary residence and used that money to purchase our first property, which was a multifamily property that we're house hacking so that the tenants are paying the whole entire mortgage and we're living there almost for free. We have to pay for some utilities, but that's about it. And now we have 4 properties, 10 doors. So.
Yep, moving along. I love it.
All in the Central Ohio area. In a couple of different counties.
But you're
in Central Ohio.
But you're diversified enough that if something happens in one town or whatever, you don't have all your eggs in one basket. I can't preach that enough to be a little bit diversified. Don't have everything all in the same neighborhood or all in the same city. I remember back in the day when Anchor Hawking was huge, huge, huge in Lancaster. And when they decided to minimize their factories down to just minimal production, tons of people were left unemployed. And so folks were leaving there in droves. And so it put a real hardship on the community for some time. So I hesitate to have all my eggs in one basket. So I like that you guys are diversified as well. So again, that's just a little side note for those that are getting started. Adrian, I see you're on the call. Can you chat or can we see you today? Or are you multitasking and possibly at work or something? He might not be able to jump in. We'll see. You can flip the little microphone there in the corner if you can talk. And if not, I understand if you're multitasking and you're just listening in. So, and Adrian, feel free to jump in if you can. So we're going to talk about taxes today and for what it's worth. So I am going to share my screen and we are going to talk about what tax deductions can we take as a real estate investor? And now we're specifically talking about real estate investing on this call, but this is really for any small business. So Sherry, you're running a company now that is not necessarily property investing, but a lot of these are still going to apply to you. Okay. And I think, this is just me, I think everybody should have a little side gig of self-employment so that they can take advantage of some of these deductions. I think everybody should have a little side gig. So anyway, so here's what we're going to talk about. You can tax deduct, and this is just an overview of all of the things, the commissions, your auto mileage, your legal fees, contract labor, advertising. You can depreciate on some assets, gifts, home office deductions, self-employment tax, business meal expense, professional meetings, conferences, publications. Sherry, this would be a big deduction for you because you're doing a lot of self-improvement stuff there. Education, training expenses. Oh, and Sherry also teaches. Her products are for teachers. So even if it's not required, and Sherry, you might have the answer to this one more than me, even if your courses aren't required for CEUs, can your teachers, if they take your courses, tax deduct the cost? Maybe, yes. So anyway, so the professional meetings, conferences, publications, education, training expenses, office rent, insurance, other than health insurance, because we talked about health insurance, and office expenses there, self-employment health insurance is also on there, but it's separate from insurance. Insurance is one deduction. Self-employment health insurance is a separate line, a separate deduction. So we're going to talk a little bit about each one of these. So first of all, you can deduct items such as bank fees, interest fees, loans used solely for your business, notary fees under the commission and fees section on Schedule C. General expenses also include items such as professional dues. I'm a member of the local Chamber of Commerce, and so I can deduct that. I'm also a member of Destination Kanawha Winchester for the bed and breakfast, so I can tax deduct those professional dues. So don't overlook all of those. Now, under car and truck expenses, you can claim the standard mileage rate if you qualify. You can claim actual vehicle expenses under the depreciation section of Schedule C. You may claim either the mileage or the actual, but not both. So sometimes I'll run it one way and then I'll run it the other way and see which one gives me the better deduction. But gas, oil, car depreciation are examples of actual expenses. But generally, if you drive 10,000 or more miles, you would get the greatest benefit from claiming the mileage. So mine always comes out, mileage is better. And Tammy, you might know the answer to this one. If I have the same car, once I start deducting mileage, do I have to continue as long as I have that car doing that? Or can I switch each year? Do you know?
I feel like once you start, I don't know for sure you would want to research, but I feel like once you start claiming mileage, actual expenses, then you have to stick with actual expenses. That's if you do the standard mileage rate, you can start with that and then switch to the other. But I feel like if you start with actual, then you have to stay with actual.
I think I read that somewhere in, and it says, if you qualify, so again, the form would actually tell you if you follow the directions, it'll tell you if you qualify or not and whether you can switch back and forth. But I think I read something about that as well, that once you did actual, you had to keep with that as long as you had that vehicle. Then if you traded that in or got a different vehicle, you could change it. We'll go to number three, which is legal and professional service fees, include fees charged by photographers, photos of homes, lawyers, locksmiths, tax preparers, inspectors, home stagers, unless employed by you, because if they're on a W-2, then you're going to deduct that on a different line. But if they're independent contractors, you can actually deduct the home stagers, inspectors, all that. Software storage fees, et cetera. So don't overlook some of those. If you're paying for software storage, if you've got a Dropbox or something and you're paying extra fees, all of that can become a tax deduction at tax time. And again, there's only two ways to make more money. If you're a real estate investor, you either have to have more properties and have more rent, or you have to have less expenses. And then one of the ways at tax time is to have more deductions. And so don't overlook some of these. They're legitimate deductions. Now, if you paid someone for work that they did for you, but do not consider them to be an employee, then you have to enter them as contract labor, an independent contractor. So if you paid the individual more than $600, you would need to issue an individual a 1099-NEC form with the income reported in box one. Now, if you're not sure if the individual is an employee, check with the IRS website. Now, being small business, we know whether they're an employee or not. And there's a formula for those of you that may not know. The formula is if you dictate anything about their job, if you dictate when they work, how they work, what they wear, what they charge, then they're an employee by definition from the IRS. And so if they're an independent contractor, that means they're totally independent. They run their own business and you just hired them to get a job across the finish line. Now you can tell them, I need this job done by a certain date, but you cannot tell them you have to clock in at 8 a.m. and you have to take a lunch break at noon and you have to work until 5. You can't tell them that. All you can tell them is like, I need this house painted and I have to have it done by the end of the month. And then they run their business however they run their business. And that makes them an independent contractor. I ran into this a lot in the salon industry, where a salon owner would want independent contractors so that he or she didn't have to worry about doing withholding. but they would want to treat them like an employee. They'd want to say, you have to be here at 8 a.m. You have to wear this uniform. You have to use this product. And that's when the IRS stepped in and said, no, they are an employee. They are not an independent contractor. So just be sure if you're going to hire some folks, if you're at the point where you're ready to hire some folks, that if you hire independent contractors, you don't treat them like employees. So that's the main thing. And there is a form over on the IRS that by definition says which one is which. And so just pay attention to that. So if you paid someone for work they did for you as an employee and you issued them a W-2, then you have to enter that amount under the individual as wages in Schedule C under general expenses. And then unemployment and FICA taxes associated with the W-2 would be entered as taxes and fees on the Schedule C general expenses. Now, here's what I want to say to that. Maybe you're at a place where you do need to hire an employee. Maybe you want to hire someone, you know, to work in your office with you, or maybe you want to hire a handyman and put him on a W-2. There are payroll companies that can do all of that payroll filings for you. And it's very inexpensive. You do not have to learn to be an accountant and take care of all of that payroll stuff if you don't want to, because there are payroll companies that will handle that for you. When we had our healthcare agency taking care of my mom and Mark's dad, we hired W-2 employee workers, and I just paid a payroll company to handle their weekly paycheck. And I think it was $58 a month was my cost for the payroll company. And then they handled taking care of all those filings. It was worth it to me. I didn't want to have to spend my time, and God forbid I would miss a filing date and then have to pay a penalty. So there are payroll companies to do that. Now, expenses paid for marketing, such as billboard ads, flyers, signs, newspaper, digital media ads, those would be listed under your general expenses as advertising expenses. And so this is also giving you a little bit of an insight of the categories. I know when I started in my bank account where you can create a tag for what that particular expense was for, I had too many tags. You know, I would say, oh, this is where I ran a Facebook ad, and this is where I, you know, paid for business cards, and this is where, and so I had all of these different, and they all come under advertising. And so I learned to just tag them advertising instead of tagging. I had too many subcategories. And then at tax time, I still had to get out my pen and paper and calculator and add them up to put them on the correct line on the Schedule C. And so I've learned what comes under advertising, and now I just tag all of that advertising. And so things go a lot faster at tax time. So assets that were purchased for running your business, such as office furniture, copiers, printers, computers, cameras, lock boxes, home staging supplies, video cameras, those would be depreciated over the useful life of the asset. And you enter these items under the depreciation and refer to the IRS publication 946 for depreciation methods and the useful life information. Now, if you're doing your own taxes and you're plugging it in on like a TurboTax, the TurboTax calculates that for you. Okay. But if you want to read about it, it's that IRS publication 946. And if you're using a CPA, they'll know how to depreciate those items as well. Now, business gifts are limited to $25 per person in your group. So to claim a deduction for a business gift, make an entry to other expenses on Schedule C and report the amount. Now, on TurboTax, you actually put in the full amount, and TurboTax automatically then calculates the $25. Now, the home office deduction, this is a big one. It requires that you have a dedicated space at home that you use exclusively for your business. This space must be your primary workspace. So if you have a physical office, you may not qualify for a home office deduction. Entries for the home office are entered into Schedule C as business use of home. So direct expenses are expenses that are directly related to the portion of the home set aside as your workspace. Indirect expenses would be expenses allotted to the entire home. For example, your real estate taxes would be an indirect expense since they are for the entire home. However, if you have a separate phone line for your home office, you would classify the utility payment as a direct expense. Now, again, when I plug that in on my TurboTax calculates my percentage, and we're going to get into how you calculate the percentage of your home. So your utility bills, your property taxes, your homeowner's insurance, all of that is going to be prorated down to the size of your home office, the square footage that your home office occupies. And I'm gonna show you that a little later. And again, there's business use of home, and there's an article there where you can click through. This will be found in the Academy, by the way. This will be found in the home mastermind. So half of the taxes you pay on your return for self-employment are deductible on your tax return, and the program will automatically calculate that amount for you. Again, I use TurboTax. So think about this. If you are an employee, if you get a W-2 and you're an employee, you see where your employer took out taxes for you, where the employer pays the other half. You pay half and the employer pays half. Well, when you're self-employed, you get to pay both halves. Isn't that wonderful? And so then you can come back and you can deduct half of those self-employment taxes that if you had been a W-2 employee, your employer would be paying. So the IRS kind of gives you that back, that amount that you had to pay. Did that make sense? I probably didn't explain that quite well. The cost of business meals with your clients can be listed as an expense on your return if the purpose of the meeting was to conduct business or generate income. Meals for real estate investors or agents would be listed under the 50% deduction as opposed to the 80% deduction for the Department of Transportation employees. So it's a 50% deduction. So David and Tammy, keep those receipts from Pizza Cottage. Because you can tax deduct 50% of those because you're there on behalf of your business. So professional meetings or conferences are considered to be tax deductible on your Schedule C. These would include costs to attend the seminar, travel, lodging, 50% of meals while away from home overnight to attend the business meeting. Now, the way I make it easier for myself, I have a whole separate account just for running my business. And I've nicknamed the bank account the Kathy Benner operating account. That's the nickname on it. It's my operating account. And so anytime I'm traveling, that's the card I use to pay for meals or hotel stays or whatever. And that way it's all in one bank account. And I don't have to sort through my other bank accounts on my properties to try to figure out where those expenses got logged. So continuing education courses are a normal expense. If you're in real estate, this can be deducted on the Schedule C as other expenses. And office rent can be listed as a general expense. However, if you work from home and you qualify for the home office deduction, you can claim a portion of the home mortgage, interest, real estate on that business use of home form. You can also depreciate the portion of the home used for business use. Insurance for your business is deductible on Schedule C. This would include insurance for your office space, business insurance, and errors and omissions insurance. Now, if you just have rental properties, I don't know that it's necessary. I have to think through this one. But because I also teach and coach real estate, I do have an errors and omissions insurance for my teaching and coaching practice. It's an additional insurance policy in case someone says, well, Kathy told me to do that and it didn't work and it cost me a lot of money. So I'm insured in case something like that happens. And so with just being a landlord, my guess is your rental property would cover everything as long as you abide by your lease agreements. And that's why it's so important for you not to vary off of your lease agreements. Now, basic office expenses such as pencils, pens, paper, envelopes, postage, ink, et cetera, all considered to be office expenses on your Schedule C. Now, if you're a self-employed individual, you're responsible for securing your own health insurance. Here's where we're going to talk about the health insurance. If you qualify, the deduction is considered an adjustment to income and is claimed on the 1040 rather than the Schedule C. To qualify, your business must show a net profit for the year and the insurance plan must be established under the business. Expenses paid for you, your spouse, and your dependents qualify for the adjustment. Again, I use TurboTax when I file, and TurboTax tells me, you know, it'll say you made the cut, so we're going to deduct it over here, or you didn't make the cut, we're going to deduct the premiums over here. And so I just answer the questions on TurboTax and it does those calculations for me. But just know that you can deduct those expenses. So any questions at this point about tax deductions or anything that kind of came to the surface while we were talking?
So I don't do Schedule C since I'm just a landlord. I put my all my deductions on the Schedule E.
Okay.
And we are self-employed, so we have health insurance through the ACA
marketplace.
Okay.
And we don't care. We don't have a profit currently since it's only year two, but we have been able to deduct our health insurance.
Okay.
For the past year and a half, 2 years, however long it's been, without any problem.
Now, where do you deduct, for example, your computer expenses, your printing expenses, your cell phone expenses? Where do you take that from?
So we have a CPA that does it, and he actually just writes all of those general office expenses off against one of the properties.
Okay. So you're getting the deduction, and he's simply putting it on one of your Schedule E's.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. I was going to say that's acceptable to do it that way, but the bigger you get, you're going to probably want to roll those over to a Schedule C and call your Schedule E your company name, because the bigger you are, as you maybe hire some office help, or maybe somebody to cover for you when you're traveling or whatever, you're going to want to have that over under a Schedule C instead of under one of the individual properties to give you a better, to give you more clarity on what your profit margin per property is.
Sure. Well, in our software, our accounting software, we keep track by property and for all of the business expenses separately, you know, the general business expenses. But when he reports it on the tax forms, he just takes everything that was for our general business and puts it against whatever the first property is that comes up in his software.
Okay. So you're getting the deduction. Yeah.
Yes. Good. And then good. I wanted to share one other deduction that you did not mention that our CPA told us about.
Okay.
And it's called the Augusta Rule.
Ah. And
it is also known as the IRS Section 280A. It allows homeowners to rent out their home for up to 14 days per year without needing to report the rental income on your individual tax return. So he told us what we should do is we should rent our personal residence for up to 14 days a year tax-free. So he suggested we rent our residence to our business for our monthly meetings so that we can then pay ourselves out of the business account for renting that for the day. And then you just have to take minutes of your business, of your meeting, to show that you actually, you know, had a meeting there.
So the business gets to deduct the rent that it paid to us, but we don't have to claim the income from the rent that we collected from ourselves.
Yes.
And I like that. Yes. Yes. Because again, your hands tied as to how, you know, you can increase your cash flow. And so you either have to raise your rent, you have to lower your expenses, or you have to have more deductions. And that's a great deduction. So yes, yeah. I made a note of that. I will research that a little more. Now, some of you may say, well, Kathy, you're renting out your home as a bed and breakfast, so you're renting it out all year round, more than 14 days. But my Caraway guest house, which is what I call my in-home bed and breakfast, actually goes on its own Schedule C. And so I have a Schedule C for the Caraway guest house. I have a Schedule C for Kathy Benner Companies, which is that operating account. And then I segue over into all my Schedule E's. And so that way, you know, when you have to pay city tax or whatever, everything, it has its own little piece of the pie, if you will. And so operating my real estate investment business all has one Schedule C, and running my guest house has one Schedule C. Because again, since it's in my home, it comes out as a Schedule C instead of on a Schedule E, because I'm providing more services than just renting space. I'm providing food, I'm cleaning the rooms, I'm flipping the rooms, I'm meeting the guest. And so there's more expenses and costs there than just a rental property, which is why the guest house is on its own Schedule C, if that makes sense. Just to try to clarify.
What was the name of that 14-day meeting?
The Augusta Rule.
Can you put it, type it in?
Yep. The Augusta rule. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
It's still up on there for your IRS number.
Section 280A.
Yes, and while they're doing that, Adrian asked about deducting a laptop, and Sherry said yes, and definitely, yes, Adrian, you can deduct your laptop. And Adrian, you should have, a Schedule C, or add it to your Schedule E, since you just have the one property that you're using as an investment property, but make sure that you can deduct not only your new computer, but you can deduct your Wi-Fi, anything that you have to use in your business, your cell phone, all of that, and mileage on your car. And if you have an area in your home that you can designate as an office, then you could even have the home office deduction as well. So all of those deductions are huge when it comes to adding more cash in your pocket.
Adrian, include your paper, your printer, your toner, folders that you need to file, your filing cabinets, and all those things that you're purchasing. As long as you have that location, you're good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I can't type today.
You've got Mercury that's keeping you from your keyboard. I love that. So let's talk about, how do you keep track of your receipts? Now, for me, and again, because I want to travel and I want to be able to do all my businesses from anywhere in the world that I have a Wi-Fi, and I didn't want to have to do, double and triple bookkeeping and entry and all of that, I simply have a separate bank account for each property. And then I have yet a separate bank account for my operating expenses. And so when it comes tax time, and I don't even print anything off because my bank keeps all of those. And once they get so old, they go into their archives. And so I don't have to print anything off. And so I just, I use Huntington. And the reason I like Huntington, well, two reasons I like Huntington. Number one is they've got a great reporting system right inside their bank account, right inside their checking accounts, where I can click I want to see it by report, and it'll actually add all of that to it on a particular property. If I want to see it by my tag report, it'll come up and it'll give me all of my property taxes with a total, how much I paid for the insurance with a total, if I had it vacant for any time that year and I had to pay an electric bill or a gas bill, it'll have all the electric bills by total, gas. And those are the totals that I just transfer over to my Schedule E. And so I can just pull up each property. I just do a little split screen on my computer, and I open up the bank account for that property. I get my totals. I go over to my TurboTax, I plug them in. I open up the next property bank account, get my totals, go over to TurboTax, plug it in the Schedule E. And my taxes go so fast because all of those totals are there. Now, you say, how do you buy stuff for these properties? Well, each one does have its own debit card. And I simply label the debit card for which property it goes to. And so I definitely, if I'm shopping at Lowe's and I have to buy something for a couple of different properties, I will split the order and have it on two separate debit cards. And nobody's questioned me about it. Sometimes the clerk will give a sigh because she has to close out one sale and then do another sale. But I don't know that she really cares at the end of the day. But anyway, it makes my life so much easier at tax time. And then all those receipts, I just put them in a manila envelope and I just hold on to them. The only time I ever need the actual receipt is if I would ever get audited. So I have them. But I remember when I first started in business and had to keep track of expenses, boy, the week or two before taxes were due, I'd be down on the floor, playing solitaire with all these receipts. Here's all the gas bill ones, here's all the phone bill, trying to get to my totals. And so now I don't have to do that. I let the bank account do my bookkeeping for me. Now, everybody has their own way and their own system on what works really well for them, but that's what works well for me. And so, any other thoughts? Tammy, I know you've got some bookkeeping background. What is your favorite system?
I use a software called Stessa. It's actually an online David's going to type it in. So
very good.
Stessa.com. And I've connected most of my business bank accounts to that, and it automatically imports the transactions. And once a week, I just code them. The reason I like that is because it gives me a lot of reporting, like on a dashboard that shows me overall how much all of my properties together earn and how they're doing. And so it gives me a little bit better picture of how things are going. And it's super easy. Once it's all in there, there's a button you can push at tax time that says download my tax reports, and it downloads them and emails them to you, and you can forward it directly to your accountant.
Love it. I love that. Yes. Make it simple. The tools are out there. There are so many tools available today that, and the, everybody says, Kathy, what system should I use? And my answer is whatever system you're going to do, whatever one that you're consistent with is the one you should use, because they don't work if you don't use them. But you need to get everything that you're doing into some kind of a system, because you don't want that feeling at tax time that, you know, because life always gets in the way. It's always when, you know, when something is due and has a deadline that something else, you know, jumps in front of it. And then you start to get a little stressed because you're out of time. So do it consistently, whatever system you decide. And even with that, I use Inago to collect my rent. And again, they're starting to have some more reporting that you can do there, but they're not quite up to speed yet. I think your Stessa does more than what Inago does so far, but Inago keeps promising us that they're going to have some of those components built into Inago. So we're looking forward to that, because all of my properties and all of my bank accounts are already loaded into Inago. So it would be great if I could load all my expenses in there and get my reports right out of Inago. So anyway, we'll see how that works out, but just use a system that works for you. Now, Sherry, you are self-employed because you're already doing, you know, your company there where you're working with parents and teachers. Do you have a system on how you keep track for your taxes?
I have a bookkeeper and an accountant, and we use QuickBooks, but with me doing a lot of online stuff, I'm also filtering in Stripe and PayPal and Venmo and what my poor bank bookkeeper goes like, Sherry, what are you doing today? Because, you know, she tries to keep up with me because, you know, I'm constantly creating new products that are going up for sale. And it's like, what's this for? What's that for? So keeping the communication with her open and keeping her up to date is half my challenge. She's also able to remotely access my QuickBooks, which is really nice. But, you know, that costs that monthly fee to have that access, to have that QuickBooks there. My husband doesn't. And so she's actually looking at a service that will allow her to remotely access his computer to get to the QuickBooks so that she can still do his remotely as well. So we've been working on streamlining that. And there are, you taught me something new today. And one was the 14 days, but just reinforcing that I am doing as many expenses as I can. Like I just basically take everything off. I put everything, filter it through my bookkeeper and say yes, no, maybe, because most of the things that I purchase other than those basic needs around the house. And then she's figured out what percentage my husband uses, what percentage I use, and what percentage my son uses. So we divide the house, but I like that meaning thing, because my son is a 1099 for me, and we have meetings all the time, and I can take 14 days off the, off the mortgage. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
We just used because you have to do a fair market value. So we just looked up, you know, Airbnb rates around us and kind of picked the average of those and figured that would be a safe number and easily defensible if, you know, we were to get audited.
Yeah, good idea. That would be the next question, is how do you determine the rate that you're going to actually deduct for that? So you use the Airbnb local rate because that's published. That's public. It's like finding comps easily. That's a published rate on what properties are going for a day or a night.
So what does that mean? You're looking at renting out the entire house for the day?
Yeah. So I just looked up Airbnb. We have a 3-bedroom house. So I looked up 3-bedroom houses near me that said they have Wi-Fi and, you know, some office space, and comped them that way.
Good idea. I wrote that down. I'm going to add that to my notes over in the mastermind.
Thank you.
You may want to research it more, because I don't know if it has to do, I'm not sure if it is relative to certain business types. Like, we have an LLC that has its own EIN, and, you know, I obviously have my own social. So I'm not sure how it works, though, if you have a C corp or an S corp or, you know, some other tech.
Or wonder if you're a sole proprietor.
Sure. I don't know that. So you'll want to do your own research.
I have a single member LLC.
I have a single member LLC, but it's also, it does have its own EIN number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every LLC has to.
Yeah. 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 So Sherry, yours would have its own EIN number as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My husband's a sole proprietor.
Okay. So just for those that are listening, just so you know, if you're a single member LLC, you can file that particular LLC on your standard tax form. The LLC does not have to file its own tax return. You can file that on your regular tax return if it's a single member. That's the key to filing it on your tax return under your name. So any other comments or questions? Yeah, this has been good. I just need to be reminded every year, you know, I kind of have it down to a science. I didn't know about the Augusta rule, which is good. That's my aha for today as well. But it is good to just be reminded of all the things that we can use as a deduction. Because I think, you know, life gets in the way. And then when it's finally time to do your taxes, you do them. And then you look back and go, oh, I could have tax deducted that and I forgot. And then you're thinking, am I going to do an amendment to do that? And you're thinking, oh, no, I don't really have time for that. And then you let it go and you're leaving money on the table. And again, every dollar makes a difference when you're trying to make a go of it and invest and get to passive income. It all makes a difference. So it's very important. Adrian says, that's me. Yeah, don't leave any money on the table, Adrian. Yep, you got to deduct all that stuff. So Adrian, do you have any questions? Are you at a place where you can unmute your mic? Did you have any questions for us, or are you good?
I know he said he was at work earlier.
Okay.
So Adrian, I did want to remind you also, all of your capital expenses, like your sewer repair, don't forget to write that off on your taxes too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we talked about capital expenses. Once you put them in the right slot, you can find out how to depreciate those. But it's all important to keep your taxes down. Yeah, he said he is at work. Yeah. So it is important to try to get all of those deductions. So yes, Adrian, do all of your capital expenses as well. Everything that you did on the house. I love it. All right. Big aha for me was the Augusta rule. Sherry, what was your big aha today?
The Augusta rule.
Yeah. Okay. Any big ahas for you, Tammy or David?
I think actually kind of an aha for me was that, because I know you've been doing this for a long time and have some really great systems, but you still have ahas. So that kind of talks to the complexity of it all.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I can learn something every day. And I hope I do. I hope I never stop learning. Yeah. Adrian, I know you're at work. Can you type in your big aha for today? We'll see what he puts
in. Did Tammy have a different aha?
Did you have a different aha, Tammy?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, she's my bookkeeper of the group. So yeah, so she's she's been doing it a while. She kind of had her systems down early.
My aha was, it's so worth it to pay an accountant to do my taxes.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, Adrian says he can't think of anything at the moment, but he was listening in. Adrian, thank you so much for being here today. I know that's kind of tough when you're working. It's kind of tough to join in this time of day. And thank you so much for doing that, for making the effort today. So I really appreciate that. So with that, I think we are going to go. So happy tax filing. Keep track of your receipts, whatever works for you. And do your taxes early. Don't wait till the last minute. Because that's when it gets crazy.
All right,
guys. You. Yep. See you later. Bye.
Bye.